Good morning, Rock Bible Church. To all you dads out there, love it. Let's have a little fun. If you're a dad this morning, I don't mean you became a dad this morning. If you're here and you're a dad, could you just stand up? Could you stand up? I know we're in public. It's a little semi-embarrassing. Yes. Let's go. All right. Today you have officially, we're going to acknowledge, you have put up with way too much for way too long. Too many critiques. Too many hours.
Cheers to that.
Cheers is right. Here we go. Exactly. We want to honor one of the greatest institutions on the planet. Moms. Oh, wait, no, sorry. It was dads. yeah, you kind of knew that. We say this on Mother's Day. It's absolutely true on Father's Day as well. One of the greatest ways that we see our invisible Father, God, is through our physical fathers. Now, no disclaimers today. I know some people, I never knew my dad, or my dad did this, or da-da-da, and that's not the dads we're talking about today, right? We want to appreciate that within God's design, he made men. Rumor has it he made them first, and they were imperfect. It actually says they needed help. All the ladies are like, yeah, they did. Still do. But within that design, male and female, we get to see the intention of God the Father. And so I'm just tickled that this many dads wanted to be at church on Father's Day. Right? We know there's many things you can do on Father's Day. You know, go to this, go to that. Da, da. I mean, let's be honest, there's a lot of churches where a lot of guys have found an excuse to go do something else today, right? But I think we just set an attendance record for Father's Day at our church because it tends to be light, and I'm glad you're here, and he's glad you're here. We're going to jump in. Welcome to Rock Bible Church. We are a Christ-centered, biblically-based, compelling, casual community, and we're compelling ourselves and others to Christ. In casual ways, welcome all to worship, being a community that serves the greater community. Amen? And one of the ways that God has allowed us to do those things is through the guys. Now, we're going to honor you ladies on another day. Today, we're going to talk about guys, and we're going to acknowledge that somewhere in the 51% of the work might be the women. I get that. But we're gonna look at guys today, and we're gonna have a little bit of fun as we continue our series in Trust in the Lord, which is Proverbs 3 verses 5 and 6. So we're gonna look at those two verses this morning and focus on the phrase in the last sentence of verse 6. He will make your path straight. We're just gonna look at he will make. And I thought, oh, how fitting on Father's Day to talk about he and will make, right? Because when you're in public, I mean, actually for us guys, I don't know if ladies, how much you're aware of this, but when guys meet each other, we're like, hey, how's it going? What's your name? What's the next question that we ask? What do you do, right? What do you make? What do you, like, all that kind of stuff. So I think it's fitting for us to talk about the Lord and what he made, makes, and will make. And so that's what we're going to do. We're going to do it through his word. We're going to bounce into some passages today. In fact, we're going to get into late Job and have a little bit of fun. But before we do, let's pray and ask the Lord to bless our time. Lord, thank you for dads. Thank you for fathers. Thank you for what we get to see of you in them. I pray, Lord, that you remind us this morning that you're better than all. Moms, dads, any of it. May we be reminded of why we're here. We love our dads, Lord, but this morning is a worship service dedicated to you, your son, through the guiding of your spirit. And so may the time that we spend in scripture, in your word, may it build us up, encourage us, challenge us, maybe correct us to whatever end you would have. And so we pray for this time in your son Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. I know the past 5 weeks we've been reading 1 through 6. Today, I think you got the first four. We're clear on that. We're going to do just 5 and 6 because we're going to jump into some other stuff. And I want to tell some stories about my dad and things like that. But we're back in the ESV translation, by the way, which we normally use every week. I made a big deal about it last week because we went NIV. Because of the way they translated a thing, you can check it out on the podcast what if you want to. But Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. It feels a little weird, that last sentence. Didn't it say, and he will make your paths straight? I mean, that's on the street, that's how you would say it. But at ESV, it decides to say, and he will make straight your path. I like it. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen? Amen. Okay. I want to point out something to you. In fact, if we went back and did verses 1 all the way down through 6, he will make. That's what we're talking about this morning. It's the one verb in the whole section that's attributed to God. Trust in the Lord. Who does the trusting? Right? If we go farther back and it says, bind them on your heart, or write them on your heart, bind them around your neck, right? Who's doing the binding and the writing? Us, right? In all your ways, acknowledge him. If acknowledge is a verb, last week we noted that NIV translated submit. Who's doing the submitting? Yeah, weird. This big old section of scripture. And the one time a verb is used on God, it says, he will make. I don't like that. Why would that bother me? Let's have a little fun. This is the interactive portion of the morning. Well, I don't like being told what to do. Why would it bother me a little bit that God has one verb in the whole section? And, well, we'll get to that in a second. Why would that bother me? I mean, Robin, right? I got all the verbs. I got to do all the work. By the way, where does his verb fall in the progression of verses? Where does it come? The very end? Wait, I got to act first? I got multiple actions, and I got to do them all first, and then I really don't like Will. I really don't like Will. What does Will imply? Will, it has yet to happen. So when is Will going to happen? That's another word. There's another word that I don't, later. Right? I don't like that word. And I don't like after either. I'm a little bothered by this. I want to flip it. I want God to have all the verbs and I want him to act first. And then, when I'm comfortable and I understand and I'm wealthy and famous and all the other things you might want and my belly's full, then I'll act, right? After he's done all the work. I think that we, as Christians, careful, this one's going to hurt a little, we get it backwards. And we get it backwards for good reason, but here's what we get backwards. We think that God does everything and that we're just along for the ride. Wait, I got an all-access pass and I can just get on the roller coaster anywhere I want. And it's all-inclusive, so I get as many hot dogs as I want. That's not how it works. And I've said this before. We're going to say it again today. I think the concept of unconditional love is a smidge misleading. Because as I read this one, especially if we added the first four verses, there are ways that the conditions change based on my actions. In fact, if we read farther into chapter 3, there's even more implication that you get what you deserve, you get what you earn, or, I mean, these sound like things my dad used to say. Hey, can I have some money? Money? Money for what? Oh, I want to go to the show with my buddies and we're getting, no, I didn't ask what you were going to do with the money. For what am I giving you money? What do you mean? I said, you want me to just give you money? There's nothing free in life. You want to earn it? Go mow the lawn, right? Take out the trash or wash the car. What? You want some money, you got to earn it. Ain't nothing in life and free. And I started thinking about this, and I would come across these big signs on the road or in the paper or on the screen. It was, hey, buy one, get one. Free. Free. No, free exists, Dad. Then, no, you got to buy something first. And there, it's not free. By the way, they probably marked it up. So you actually covered the cost of both in the first one you bought. They're just tricking you. It's called marketing. Wow. I would suggest to you this morning that there's nothing free in God's economy, in God's spiritual economy. We're meant to give up some things, like trust, like how we act in every situation. We're meant to make some things, and then He will make some things. And here's where it goes sideways. Because when Dad tells me nothing's free and you got to earn it, well, I'm now all about getting after it. Now I got to go earn stuff. And I'm running around trying to make things or get a job or fulfill, meet a quota, whatever, because I'm going to accomplish things. And the more that works for you, what are we encouraging? For you to work more. And the more you work, the more you think that you're in control or you have the influence or you're going to make stuff happen. That your benefits and blessings are due to your own actions. And that's where we get it wrong. We do things, but God does all things. And that's what I have the hardest time remembering. When I get anxious, nervous, excited, anticipatory, whatever it is, when I start filling in my prayer request list, I sometimes forget He's the one that does everything. Is that good news or bad news? It's great news. Because one of the questions I get the most as a Christian pastor, oh yeah, well if God's so good, then how come this happened? They usually don't say it with that much tone, right? But why do bad things happen to good people? Why would God allow death? I mean, there's one thing if you get to make it to 96 and a half, I mean, that's a pretty good deal. What if you only make it to 6 and a half? Why would God allow that, right? Or the one I said we weren't really going to talk about today, what if you had a bad dad? Why would God allow that? There's a lot of those questions. And when we start dancing with those things, we're listening to the wrong music. And we got to figure out the right music. Because that's when you start having a better experience. You have a better experience with God when you start thinking like Him rather than thinking against Him. It's kind of like Julie and Marissa and I, not so much John, he goes to work full-time all day, every day. But the last couple of weeks, the three of us, we've been boxing and moving and packing and cleaning and dump running and we're shutting down the house. We figured out it goes much better when there's music on, right? Put on the music. We've also figured out that Dad picks the wrong music. My playlist has been cut off and my Bluetooth access has been switched to someone else several a few times. Right? When we get the better music, though, it's a better experience. I want us to kind of have better music for He Will Make. Future tense, it sounds like. But we're going to look at it a little bit more from a bunch of different places. Here we go. Get out your outlines. Flip it over. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. He will make. And let's look at first fill-in. One of the things that we want to catch from verse 5, it says, is that we need to trust. Because it says trust in the Lord, right? With all your heart. Well, trust in what? He's at work. I can tell you so many times where I was talking to mom or somebody in the family. Hey, where's dad? He's at work. I can't tell you how many times I heard that phrase. He's at work. Still? Again? He's at work. I want us to make sure we're clear that when it says he will make, that's talking about future tense. But I want to know now about now. If he's going to work later, has he done any setup work? Has he laid the foundation? I want to know if he's still working. Because, guys, I've bet my whole life on this, my career, my livelihood. If it's not real, I'm the first one out, right? I need to know that he's still active. The way that I like to say it is God's not done yet, right? And I want us to look at that a little bit this morning because we have to trust that he's at work. And what does that mean? How would you say that? Like if you wanted to invite somebody to church or invite somebody to Christ, how would you say that, hey, God is still at work. God's at work. How would you say that?
Today in your life.
He's the living word, so he's living. His word is alive.
Okay. He's living. How else would you say it? I have faith that he's what? That he's working? Okay. No more using the word to define the word. He's at work. How else would you say that? He's alive. He's living. He's active. He's doing stuff right now. What would you like God to do for you? Right? One of the phrases I like to use, especially on waitstaff, how can I ask the Lord to bless you today? Now, sometimes it gets a little awkward. Use carefully if you try this out. Okay? But we want to get to this idea that God is active, participating. The one I want my kids to learn more is paying attention. If he's working, we hope he's paying attention, right? You ever heard about injuries on the job site? Somebody's not paying attention, they're swinging. You know, especially in Mexico, our group that just came back, you got stuff, you're swinging around the long metal studs, and you catch one of those in the leg, that's not good. We want a God that's paying attention. Why? Why do you want him paying attention? Because he cares. Cares about who? I want a God who's paying attention to me, that cares about me, because I want a good experience. So therefore, I want a God that is active and good, paying attention in good ways. He will make, that could be bad, right? He will make you suffer. Wait, I didn't sign up for that. We need to look at it that way. I love what it says in Psalm 121, 3 through 4. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep, which means God does not sleep. Now, this is how I know God and I are different. One of the ways, I can't function without sleep. How active is God that he's always awake, always paying attention? How great is that? I need somebody on the midnight watch when I'm sleeping. I need somebody who's watching those that I care about. Because my four from my immediate family, they tend to go four different directions. I can't keep track of them. I need a God who makes sure I don't misstep because I think I can take care of four people, even if they're in the same place, which that's a misstep in its own. Does this imply that he's doing now? Absolutely does. Right? Let's go to our next verse. Psalm 37:5. We've been paralleling Psalm 37, by the way, because it goes really well with Proverbs 3. But commit your way to the Lord. There's the action verb for you first, right? I have to commit my way to the Lord. Trust him, there's number two, and he will act. Now I got two different people saying it. Psalm and proverb, right? David and Solomon, father and son, starting to figure it out. God acts when? When you ask him to. Trust in the Lord or commit your way to him or having faith. Those are very, very spiritual ways to say it at church. What are we really saying? Talk to him. Relationship. Okay. So we're cleaning house. I'm in one room. Mercer's in another room. And I said, hey, Mercer, can you please come talk to me? Now, before there was any response, I had a moment. Oh, my goodness. I wonder if that's God's position. Hey, will you please come talk to me? I've been waiting days to share that. Hey, will you come talk to me? Now, most kids whose last name are Berglund, they say, well, I'm in here. Why don't you come talk to me? You're the one that wants to talk. What's wrong with that equation? Nobody wants to move. And I'm the dad, right? I wonder if this concept of him always wanting to act is somehow related to how much do we believe it? How much do we ask of him, think of him, reference him? In fact, it said, in all your ways, acknowledge him. Because we could spend the rest of our existence as a church every Sunday from near now until whatever, talking about all the ways we could disobey. That's grumpy church. That's bummer Sunday. Let's talk about the ways we can pursue him. Chase him. Yes, God created us to need him. He did. And here's the problem. He's also created us with pride and an ego, and we think we can do it on our own. Right? You know, if everybody would just listen to me, everything would be fine. For who? For me. Here's where that logic actually works. When God says it. When God says, hey, you know, if everybody would just listen to me, it would all work. How weird is that? Let's keep going. Let's keep going because we're going to trust that he's at work. Number two, we're going to trust that your work is R&R. On Father's Day, we got to talk about R&R, right? Rest and relaxation. That is not the R's for this morning's fill-ins. All right? Let's look at Psalm 25:14. We don't even have to change the screen. Look at it. It's right there. It's also at the top of your outline. The secret of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he will make them know his covenant. Man, I love that. I love that for reasons other than, wait, there's a secret? I mean, none of us like the secrets or the mystery of God. You know, if I just knew God's will, if I knew what God was saying to me right now, if I knew what God wanted, the secret, the mystery, we don't want that. We want answers. You want answers? I want the truth. Right? I know, sorry. It's a track that plays in my head, and once I start, I have to finish it, right? But this idea that the Lord, one, that he exists, two, that there's some mystery to him, and that we should fear him. Here's the thing you should fear about God: being detached. I remember being a kid. It was actually January 1st, 1980. I remember because I read it in my dad's journal. But I'm standing at the top of Shadow Ridge in the dark and just totally alone and realizing I didn't make a plan for how I was getting home, and the sun's down, all my buddies are gone, and I'm literally standing on the sidewalk like trying to figure out like, what am I going to do? My fear is I was disconnected from the family. What happened? Dad showed up, cracked a bunch of jokes that made me learn some lessons, and then let me get in the car, and then we're reconnected, right? A fear of the Lord is to be disconnected from him or miss out on his blessing. That's where it all starts. Well, shouldn't we fear that he can crush me or take stuff from me? Oh, yeah, I mean, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. How about let's talk about he gives rather than he takes away? My fear is that I spend too much time thinking about the wrong side of that equation, right? Who taught us that? Lord gives and Lord takes away. Job. Consider the earliest writing in Scripture. They can't even date it very well. They can't date anything very well, by the way. But one of the first things we learn within the first two chapters of the earliest book was, hey, God gives and God takes away. And what's the next line? Blessed be the name of the Lord. How about I enjoy him regardless of how he acts? Ooh. That's incongruent. It makes no sense. What? No, I like people because of how they act. When they're nice to me, then I can trust them and they're safe. When they're mean to me, okay, I believe it and I move on and work with other people. Problem is our judgment as to who God is and what he does and how he does it is... it's faulty. But watch the end of this verse 25:14 of Psalm. And he will make them know rest and relaxation? No. Prosperity? No. Health? No. He uses this really weird C word, right? He will make them know his covenant. Oh, we never use that word anymore, and unless you go to a wedding that I perform. Then I say it way too many times. Amen. What is covenant? Promise, agreement between two people. And so if it's between two people, then what do we know it is? It's relational. God says, yeah, I exist, and there's secrets to who I am, and you better be afraid to miss out on things. But guess what? If you stick with it, you will know me. Oh, man. You know, in job searches, there's this thing called a resume. They're basically worthless. Because it's not what you know, it's who you know. How do you get jobs? Well, you go on the online service, you register with LinkedIn and all these other things. I can't even keep track of them anymore. I don't use them. I don't suggest anybody use them. Find somebody you know, right? Isn't it weird that that has turned out to work that way, and it's actually the way God's designed us to work? It's not good for man to be alone. He should be relational. How many tribes are we going to have? 12. Not one. Not three. Not seven. Whole bunches. How many disciples did he get? 12. Whole bunch. Right? When God says, hey, do not forsake the assembly of the body when it meets together, as some are in the habit of doing. What's God protecting when that verse is said? Church. Fellowship. It's a very fancy word. What's it really mean? Starts with R, and it's probably one of the fill-ins. It's relationships, right? Wait, trust your work is relationships? No, that's not it. It's got to be a different form. There we go. It's relational, right? But I don't think that's the first word. Oh, no. What are we going to do? It's the second word. Can't get to the second word without doing the first word.
Relevant.
Relevance, that's a good one. You can write it underneath the line. We love extra answers. We do extra credit here, by the way. You get an extra donut when you leave if you get extra credit. Most of the time, when I do a good job, I feel good. Because it's not rewarding, but you can write that under the line too. I feel like I've done something. I feel like I've accomplished. And the problem is, who gets credit there? You do. God does all things. Amen? So who never gets credit? You do. So when I work, it has to be something other than causal or effective. Because it's God's work that he's doing. And when I see God do that stuff, I go, wow, you mean I can trust in him with all my heart and all my ways? I could submit to him? And why does Solomon get to that place where he says that? Why does David say that? Why does Job say that? Like, once they get to know, remember the promise covenant, they'll get to know my covenant. Once they get to know that covenant, once they have that relational, then it's like, ooh, now I want to do his work. That would make my work. It's kind of like reactive. I stumped the band. James, give it to him. Responsive.
Paul's like, she got it before I heard it.
Congratulations, you win. You're preaching next week. That's great. I mean, she's brilliant. If you knew her, you'd know she's brilliant. So it makes sense that she would come up with that. Our work is responsive, and it's counterintuitive because we get compensated in almost every interaction in life with humans. And in a lot of ways, we get compensated by God, right? Is he in the business of blessing? Yeah, in fact, he started off the whole relational thing with Abram. I will bless you so that you can be a blessing. In fact, God leads with it, right? And yet, God wants us to be responsive to him. Now we're getting into other ways that we might want to fear the Lord. When he calls to us, you don't answer. Hey, you want to make dad really mad? Give him the silent treatment when he asks you a question. Do that disrespect. Doesn't go well. God's the same way. God says, hey, why don't you respond to me? I've made some suggestions. I've written them all down and organized them neatly. How about you start doing some of them? Well, I'm going to need you to act first. We got the cross. We got a bunch of other ways, right? It's absolutely true. I remember my dad and so many of my interactions with my dad where he could have tied my shoe for me, liggety split. Instead, he said, okay, take this one lace. Now take that lace. Now cross this one over that one. Do I do it this way, Dad, or do I do it this way? Well, actually, it doesn't matter the first step, but the next step will be adjusted by how you do the first step. Okay, do you see how slow this is going, even in explaining it? Dad sat through that how many times? Two. Too many times. Right? Not two, the number two. My dad taught me how to cook. My dad taught me how to tie a tie. My dad taught me how to use a drill press, deburr a part, drive, pack a shipping container with metal bands, and then saran wrap it, and then use the forklift to pick it up and put it on a truck, and then drive that truck. And here's how you fill out the paperwork, and here's where you need the signature. And by the way, when you come back and you hand the check, it's got to go into this thing. My dad taught me so many things. But one of the greatest things that I learned from my dad was not skills and abilities, but to talk to people and smile, call them by name. To this day, I have no idea how he does it. If my dad meets you, he will remember your name. It's the weirdest thing. He is absolutely relational. In all ways. I remember growing up and he's talking to the checkout lady. He's talking to the busboy. He learned Spanish. He's talking to people in multiple languages. He's shaking hands, smiling, asking questions. He's relational all the time. Brilliant? Yes. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But the idea of you need to figure out how to connect with people. Love that. And one of the ways that you connect with people is you learn how to respond to them. Have you listened to what they've actually said? Are you reading their facial expression? What is the tone? Are they even standing in front of you anymore? Because them being gone might be a sign something went wrong. Right? Doug's familiar with that one. That's why he's laughing. So your work is to be responsive and relational. Responsive and relational to God, right? You could add to God at the end. By the way, there was an add to on the first one. Trust, he is at work always. You can add always to that first one. But number three, here we go. Trust. He knows. Mike? No. Matt? No. I mean, he does know Matt, but not. Morgan? More. Scott, you know, this is a little bit simplistic. We, as a pastor and with your degree and everything, we think you should have done something a little more complex than this. God knows more? Yes! Why would you say it? Because we need to start acting like it. What do you pray about? How much do you pray about? What do you read of his stuff? You know, he has some posts. How much have you liked his posts? And just using them? It's the weirdest thing. I want to go see a movie. It's a sequel. So what did I do? Before going to see the sequel, what did I do last night? I watched the first one. For the first time? I watched it again. Why would you watch a movie again? I forgot some of this stuff. There were some scenes like, oh man, I forgot. I don't remember this scene. Did I enjoy the movie the second time?
Yes.
Yes. You watch a movie a second time because you enjoyed it. I started thinking about this. You know, I went to a restaurant the other day that I already been to before. Why would anybody do that? There's no variety. I get in the same car over and over. I go to the same stores, the same restaurants. I hang out with the same people. Why do I do this repetition thing with everything in my life except God? I think one of the best things we could do is to figure out how to do more repetitions with Him. How can I do more relational, more responsive with Him? Why? Because He's ahead of me. I remember talking to my dad one time. I was getting a little dark on Dad being in the blue-collar industry. Machine shop, cutting metal. You know, after a shift, you come home from a machine shop. Do you know what condition you're in? The worst. You smell of several different things. Let's talk about the safe ones, like metal oil. The oil that comes out of metal and high-powered machines spinning at thousands of RPMs being cut. That metal comes out into the air and it slowly comes down, becomes a nice ointment all over you. When they cut metal, it gets really hot, really fast, and they need to keep it cool. So they splash this stuff, very poignantly named coolant, and they splash this stuff on metal that's spinning at thousands of RPMs. And when water hits something that's spinning really fast, it becomes a mist and it goes up into the air. And then it comes down and rests on you and becomes an ointment. There's so many other things. You know, when you got those two things, you got to use cleaners, solvents. Those things smell. Then there's just average, regular dirt. We haven't even got into bodily processes. And you come home and you're a mess. And I'm thinking, why? Dad, why do we even do this? And my dad had this way, still does, by the way. He's watching right now, I guarantee it. Right? He has this way, he gets this little smirk on his face when he knows he's about to like drop a bomb on you. You know? He said, oh, Scotty. A lot of people want to make decisions and have power and influence. A lot of people can talk to one another or sit in a meeting. A lot of people have money. A lot of people have access to pretty much all things. But if you ask me to make anything, I can make it. And most people can't say that. And I was like, what? Challenge accepted. Could you make a bike? Like a bicycle? Yeah, absolutely. That'd be super simple. You take the tube piping, you cut it, and then you're going to do it. Take a drill down at a sliced angle, depending on the angle of the tube that you want on your bikes. And we started building a bike frame. And all of a sudden, I was like, who is this guy? He has a superhero cape. He knows more than me. It took me a long time to figure that out. I got into my early 20s, maybe my 30s, and I start calling my dad all the time. Hey, Dad, this just happened. What does this mean? Hey, Dad, I got to fire somebody the first time. I never fired anybody before. You talk me through this? Oh, Scotty, I could see the smirk through the phone. All these different things. We got to sell the house. We got to this. We got to that. Hey, have you ever dealt with this before? Love it. I started figuring out, I want people around me that are ahead of me. Mentor, right? Coach. Who's the greatest mentor who knows the most? God. And we forget. There's absolutely nothing in your life that is a surprise. Somebody posed this to me one time. You know, God is never in heaven with Peter and Paul and Jesus, like nudging them. Hey, guys, can you check this out? Look at what they're doing. I never imagined they would be doing that. That never happened. And it's funny, but let's see what happens in Job, though. Watch what Job does. Now, Job's a long book. It's very difficult read, and it's a dangerous read, because you get to the very end, you find out three of the guys were wrong. Job and his three buddies, right? Job loses everything, and then at the very end, it's all restored to him. And really, it's a big book of the question of evil. Why are God and Satan even talking to each other? What? They made a wager over Job, right? In fact, God starts the conversation. Hey, have you considered my servant Job? Wait, God starts conversations like that? Yeah, then he says, do anything you want to him. He'll be fine. There's none like him. Just you can't kill him. What? Hey, can I not be Job, please? I just want to be Scott, right? Anytime you think you're having a bad day, remind yourself, well, at least I'm not Job. All this bad stuff happens, and his three buddies, I use that term loosely, buddies, they come in and start comforting, critiquing him for like 30 chapters. At the very end, it says God speaks. Chapter 38, verse 1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. God shows up in a whirlwind. What an entrance. Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? It's like, oh, wow, I think we know some of the same people. Dress for action like a man. He says, suit up because it's about to go down. You and me, Job. He's left out the three guys. I will question you and you make it known to me. Oh, you want to take chapters and chapters, you and your dingling buddies, and you want to ask questions about God, you want to critique, you want to come up with your own statements. And he says, how about we switch the script? How about I start asking the questions and you start giving me answers? That's an absolute flex. What is the point that God is making to Job there? I'm God, you're not. I know everything, you know nothing. Shut up. Stop talking. Your words are coming out of your mouth without knowledge. It means you know nothing. Foolish, right? He's trying to establish something. You're coming up with ideas. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Hey, I was there. I remember seeing you there. Tell me if you have understand. Hey, you seem to know so much. You guys have been talking for so long. You seem really smart. Come on, explain it. You don't understand anything. Who determines its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched and the line upon it like the measuring stick? Tape measure? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Oh. God goes back. Where does he go back to? Genesis 1. Buddy, who do you think you are? You want to question God? How about God question you? How come God in it? Careful. God starts asking you questions, it could get real dangerous. Now we're really into fear of the Lord. You don't choose your own steps? Answer's no, you don't. But you act like it sometimes. I do. God says, you better careful. You're about to wander in some bad places. By the way, God keeps going for another more than a chapter and a half, and we get to chapter 40. Watch what he does here. This one's fun. And the Lord said to Job, shall a fault finder contend with the Almighty? I love that. We love to find fault. We love to critique. There's a subset of the population that I started ignoring decades ago. They're called movie critics. I've never met one That was correct. I give it 14% or a Rotten Tomato. Really? I loved it. Stop critiquing. I got people that hated the Batman Superman movie. My daughter bought me a shirt. It has the Batman symbol with the Superman symbol like superimposed together. I wear it around Brent Baldwin all the time. And whenever I can see Giuseppe. Why are you finding fault? You want to find fault with God is really what he's asking. He who argues with God, let him answer it. Then Job answered the Lord and said, watch Job, this is beautiful and why he is who he is and why we still hear about him to this day. Behold, I am of small account. What shall I answer you? I lay my hand on my mouth. I have spoken once. I will not answer twice. But I will proceed no further. And then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, dress for action like a man. Is God angry? Absolutely. Or he's got a little smirk on his face. Oh, Joby, let me ask you some questions. Instead of thinking that God's angry, think that God's teaching. Right? Dress for action like a man. I will question you and you make it known to me. Will you even put me in the wrong? Some of us think God is wrong far too often. Will you condemn me that you may be in the right? Some of us think that we're right and we know how it should go and that God's wrong and we do it far too often. How many times is that, by the way? Once. He's never wrong. He's never wrong. In his economy, he's never surprised. He's never wrong. Those two words don't work in his vocabulary. They don't exist. Right? Then we're gonna close out the book. We get to almost to the very end of Job. Here we go. And this is chapter 42. So we skipped more than a chapter and a half. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do some things. The things you want to do. Man, that's a powerful word right there. I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted or stopped. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? It's a quote, by the way. He's making sure God knows that he's heard what God said. And what's he saying? He's saying, I'm the one. I should have kept my mouth shut. Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand. Things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. God shows up and says, hey, buddy, you're totally off. And what does Job say? You're right. What do I need to know? He needs to remember that God will make. And what he references to Job is Genesis chapter 1. Let's look at it. We're almost done here. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. What was God's first thing he did? What was God's first verb? Making. He created. He started by making. In fact, I love this. First two action words, beginning and creating, are both God. So unlike our Proverbs section, when you start Genesis, all of the verbs are God. Well, Scott, beginning isn't really a verb. It's a prepositional phrase for a verb. Describes how he's acting. It means he starts stuff and he makes stuff. That's what we have to remember. Earth was without form and void. What does the earth bring to the equation? And where did we come from? The dust of the earth. Okay. And darkness was over the face of the deep. There was nothing, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. I want you to take light out of that last sentence. Let there be, and there was. And every verse that you go through the rest of Genesis 1, pretty much, is that construction, that sentence construction. And God said, let there be, and there was. We have to remember that. Is he in the business of blessing? Yes. We say that a lot because he's good. We love all that stuff. If you break that down, what does that mean? He makes good stuff for people. And he will make. What will you make? Mistakes. Most of the time, I've become a professional mistaker. I question God rather than ask God questions. Stop questioning God and start asking him questions. This is your Sunday service extra. Please write this down. Stop questioning God and start asking God questions. Because he is in construction and he's blue collar. And as my dad said to me on January 1st, 1980, I will always come for you. He knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly who you are because he was there at creation. And actually, even before the beginning of creation, he already knew who you were going to be. And he made you perfectly needy, perfectly imperfect, so that dad would have something to work on. And that's what we love about our fathers. It's the image of God himself that he continues to work on us, with us. It cleans up our messes, and apparently he makes a path for us. He straightens it. That's next week. But for this week and moving forward, we're going to stop questioning God and start asking God questions. Amen? Amen? The secret of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he will make them know his covenant. Watch all the stuff that he's making. Acknowledge the things he's made. And be expectant of what he will be doing. Amen? Father, we thank you for this concept of what you're capable of, that you're constantly working, that you never tire. In fact, even the idea of you resting on the seventh day was in some ways more of an example to us rather than a need for you. And we thank you for how consistent you are. And we ask you forgiveness for how consistent we are. You are consistent in your goodness and your blessing, your provision. And we're consistent in our mistakes, our questioning, our sin. Help us to be more responsive to you and more relational with you. And then, Lord, may we use that to be more responsive and relational with others. We thank you that your son was the perfect example of this, and his ultimate act on the cross proved it all. And therefore we exist as a church, Lord, so we thank you for the offering you're about to receive, and pray that we will continue to do your will. So bless this offering, both those who can give and those who cannot. May no one leave this room feeling guilty or shame. And more importantly, Lord, for those who need to start a relationship with you, encourage them. And if that's you this morning, maybe your prayer is, Lord, I just want to ask you questions from now on. And yes, I just called you Lord. And will for this day forward. If that's you, come talk to me. That's why we're here. We pray all of this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Just a disclaimer, I have to clarify, you'll fly away or he'll fly you away. He's the one that does the working, right? May you enjoy covenant with your maker. Amen? Amen. Go with him. Be nice to dad today.